The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good day, and welcome to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Reiki Master and host Phyllis Lei Forimoto, as she shares with you inspiring stories along with her practical wisdom for finding balance with spirit in everyday life. Now here's your host, Phyllis Forimoto.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Just a little note, this week is my last week of being with Motivox. I'm really excited about going on to my next radio station, which is ReikiTalkShow.com. And I'm very thankful and grateful to the staff of Motivox and to the system that they built up to help me in these 2 years really come to a place of enjoying interviewing rather than freaking out about if I would do a good job. So I really appreciate all you listeners, and today we have with us Phil Morgan. Phil is a person that I've known since the early 1980s, and he'll tell his own story. So, Phil, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Phil. It's fun to be here.
Great. I'm going to ask Phil not to move because his chair creaks a lot. And so if you heard that, you'll know it's his chair. Phil, can you share with us how you met Reiki?
How did I meet Reiki? 1983, and I had been in the computer field for about 25 years. My wife was working for the Head Start program in Salem, Oregon, and she had a friend that went down to Eugene and took a Reiki class and came back and needed somebody to practice on. So Marty got a Reiki treatment, and Florence and Marty decided to have a class in Salem. They invited the teacher, Barb West, to come up, and the Reiki class was going to be at our house. So my job was to take the kids and the dog and disappear for the weekend. And on Friday night, Barbara did an introduction to Reiki, and I, down at the Head Start building, and I went down to see what this was going to be that was happening at our house. And Barbara started out the class by saying, or the introduction by saying, if you like your life just exactly like it is right now, and you don't want it to change, you should leave, because Reiki can change your life. And I was in marketing at the time, and I thought, that's a really good line. And by the end of the couple hours that she talked, I wanted to get rid of the kids and the dog and take the class. But I had made a commitment, and so I had to wait for the next month. And so in April of 1983, I did the first level of training. And it did do just exactly what Barbara warned me about. By the end of that year, I'd done second degree. I had quit my job with the computer consulting firm I was working for. I took 3 months of time and went up into the woods and read and talked to the trees and stomped on the ground and decided what I wanted to do when I grew up.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. It was a major transition.
And then what happened during that time of your studentship? I know that you were involved in a Reiki support group in Portland. Was that, did that happen then, or did it happen later on in your Reiki student
It started years? When it started before I was initiated as a master, and so it started probably about 1985. And we had a project called Reiki In-Service Project, and the idea was to provide a forum for Reiki students to come together and to offer their services to people who had a life-threatening illness. So it was basically a matching service. We would get a list of Reiki students, and we get a list of people who had a life-threatening illness, and we would connect the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And the volunteers were asked to make a commitment to give a treatment once a week for a period of not less than 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be extended then if they wanted
mm-hmm.
to do that.
And what was your part in this project? Were you one of the volunteers, or were you an administration, or
well,
everything?
I was my vision, and we created a nonprofit corporation, and so I had a board of directors that helped me, assisted me with putting this all together and publicizing it and getting people to know that it was there and available.
Uh-huh.
And yes, I had my own clients that I saw too.
Wow. And what was your impression about the role of Reiki in these people's lives? I mean, I'm sure it was situational, like everybody mm-hmm. had their own sort of specific gift, but I'm just wondering what you saw as far as the application of Reiki in the situation.
Well, the thing that drew me to it was I'd been working in a hospice program
mm-hmm.
and saw the more profound sense of healing that could happen as people went through their end-of-life process.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't cure the illness, but it necessarily, but it did provide a sense of peace, a sense of coming to peace with what was going on for
mm-hmm.
them. And it dealt a lot with the pain, with the discomfort, with some of those kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
And we did have some of the miracle stories of people who had supposedly a life-threatening illness that all of a sudden was gone, and they were off running around and having fun and taking trips to Hawaii.
Wow.
Together.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
So people often ask me, in the places where it looks like Reiki is not working, would you say that that was true for you, that you found that there were times when Reiki didn't seem to work?
No. I never found that at all, Phyllis.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it was difficult to identify how it was working, because
mm-hmm.
it was working very internally and on a spiritual or emotional level that wasn't apparent.
Uh-huh.
But in a matter of weeks or sometimes just hours, the treatment, the effect of the treatment was apparent.
Wow, interesting.
And I never felt like the Reiki treatment didn't bring healing in some form, in some way.
Mm-hmm. And the people who were treating, were these like all masters, or were they first degree, second degree?
First degree, second degree, masters.
Yeah. Wow. So did you notice that there was a difference in effectivity and across the board? Because this is something that's kind of it's kind of a question that's out there.
Well, I don't know. We didn't track that
uh-huh.
as far as statistically.
No, but if there had been a difference, surely you would have seen a pattern or something.
But we got the same kinds of comments back from the people who were receiving the treatment, whether there was a master or second degree or first degree student teaching or treating them.
Uh-huh.
So it did not, from the receiver's end of it, seem to make any difference. The level of comfort that they received, the level of peace that the treatment seemed to bring, was across the board, not dependent across on the level of treatment.
Uh-huh. That's really interesting, because you know there are people who really have this feeling, and I try to tell people that it really doesn't matter.
Well, in my first degree classes, I tell the students that I would rather receive a Reiki treatment from a first degree student that practices and does self-treatment than a master who just lets it sit kind of on the side until something comes up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I have the same philosophy, but it's not a very popular one.
Well,
So do you have a story that comes up for you about this, around this in-service project? Because we've been talking a lot recently about quality of life and how Reiki gives someone a certain quality of life, but it's hard to articulate sometimes.
Well, I think the most dramatic story that I've got is I had this friend named Jim, and Jim had AIDS, and I had met him through a seminar that he and I had helped Louise Hay put on.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim was getting along in his progression of the disease. This is back in the mid-80s. And his mom called me up one day and said, Jim's not doing very well. In fact, he's doing really badly. Could you come over and spend mm-hmm. some time with him? And I went over and got up to his room, and he was laying on bed and he wasn't able to move. He was so weak. His skin was yellow. His eyes were yellow. He was in kidney failure, liver failure. And so I started giving him a treatment, and my hands got down to his liver, and it was like, I don't know what happened, but 2.5 hours later, I came back into my body and walked out of the room going, wow, what just happened? And got out to the car and kind of went through my grieving process of saying goodbye to him, because I didn't think he'd be around when I came back the next day. And I came back the next day, and he was sitting up in bed, and he was sipping some soup. The yellow was completely gone from his eyes and mostly gone from his skin. And he lay down, and I gave him another treatment, and I got down to his liver. And an hour and a half later, I was back in the room. And I'm going, well, this is not something my Reiki master taught me about. And the next day, the third day, he had his window open to air the room out because he'd been busy smoking and watching the soap operas on TV.
Oh my
and
gosh.
And drinking a Coke.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going, why am I doing these Reiki treatments? The last day that I went back, the fourth day for the treatments, he was walking down the stairs with a dustpan and a broom. He'd been busy cleaning up his room for our treatment.
Wow.
His doctor had been on vacation. The lab reports had gone to his doctor's office. They sat there. His doctor got back the next day, called Jim's mom and said, I want to say condolences to you, because I'm sure that Jim's passed by now. And she said, no, you want to talk to him? So that was a remarkable one. That was just amazing.
Uh-huh.
And there was another one. I was working with a hospice program, and it was in-home hospice, and this young man was in the process of letting go of his life. And I sat down. I went over to be with him. His mom left to do something. His sister left to do something, and I was in the house with him by myself, and I just put my hands on him. And I sat there with him and watched him leave his body. Mm-hmm. And it was like he was waiting for them to go. He was waiting for the space to be safe. And the Reiki just came in and kind of, he took a deep breath and let go.
Wow. Beautiful.
Yeah. So one extreme to the other.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me a tremendous understanding of not being in control, or it not being under my control about what happened with mm-hmm. the energy. I could mm-hmm. really appreciate from those experiences mm-hmm. that my job is to put my hands on the person. Mm-hmm. My job is just to open to the flow of energy that they pull through me. And I have to let go of any expectations, any attachments to what happens. And know that healing's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great. Well, we'll be back with Phil Morgan after the station break. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Taking you to the threshold of a dream and beyond. Seventh Wave Network.
When you were young, did you feel free to daydream?
Were you full of questions such as why, how, and what if? Did you allow yourself to be carefree, to dance and sing? Did you create just for fun? Want to feel that way again? Reclaim your natural curiosity and creativity with Dr. Carol Stalka on Stargazing Stories, Sparking Your Creativity. Revitalize your life, work, and relationships. Be more playful, be bold, imagine, explore, and live more creatively every day. Tune in Wednesdays at 11 a.m. in the East, 8 a.m. in the West on Seventh Wave Network.
The new home for visionary positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Forimoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. I'm here today with Phil Morgan. He's living around the Portland, Oregon area. And Phil was telling us about his in-service project and some of the stories from that project. So at the time when you were developing then as a Reiki student, Phil, you seem to have a lot. You created through the in-service project a lot of opportunity for you to treat others and to see how Reiki worked.
And absolutely,
that must have been an amazing experience for you.
It was. Not only did I get to see directly through giving treatments, mm-hmm. but I had this group of. We had about 45 volunteers, and we would get together twice a month for people to debrief and to mm-hmm. talk about their experiences and ask questions and that sort of thing. And so that was as much of a learning for me as actually giving the treatments.
I can imagine.
Everybody sharing their experiences uh-huh. with all sorts of different diseases, illnesses.
Mm-hmm. Great. So what happened to this program?
Well, we did such a good job of getting Reiki training in the Portland area that people that had life-threatening illnesses had friends that gave them Reiki treatments instead uh-huh. of needing to go through the project. So uh-huh. we eventually closed the project, and the funds that were left over went to the AIDS hospice in Portland.
Oh, wow. So how long did the project go on?
I think it was about 8 years.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I know that there are projects out there like that around the world, and it would be... I mean, I'm always interested in these projects, and it's also interesting that somehow the practice of Reiki gets disseminated, and then family and friends, and
yeah.
now hospitals are offering Reiki, so it's mm-hmm. Become a really a wonderful way to spread the practice of Reiki.
Right, it is. Yeah. I had the opportunity to work on staff in an AIDS hospice, a residential hospice, and I actually set up a group of Reiki volunteers that came, and we had Reiki available to the residents every day of the week.
Wow.
And they loved it. And pretty soon the staff was all interested in it, so I did a class of about 30 of the staff members, nurses, and,
wow.
and aides, and other volunteers that were... So there was just, the whole place was filled with that kind of energy, and it was...
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So you became a master?
I did, thank you. Thanks to you.
Phil and I have our favorite story. We have our different sides of the story, but eventually you became initiated as a master. When was that?
May 9th, 1986.
Wow. And at that point, had the Brighton Bush gatherings started?
Yeah. Those started in 85? I think it was 85 was the first one. No, it must have been 84 because we just did the 25th year anniversary.
Ah, right.
Yeah.
So one of the things that a little bit of history about the Oregon area is that, there were certain places where my grandmother went to teach that were very interesting. One was the Chicago area, and one was up in the Bay Area near San Francisco, and then eventually, she did teach in the Seattle area, Orcas Island, and then in southern British Columbia. One of the things that I found quite interesting in the Northwest, and especially in Oregon, and I don't really understand why, maybe you have an idea, is that the idea of a Reiki community was really strong. And the you know your in-service project and the numbers that you're speaking about really indicate that this was something that was not just people experimenting with Reiki, but people wanting to reach out to other people in their community to offer something that they found beneficial.
I think we were blessed. We had your grandmother taught at the naturopathic college in Portland, I think. It was either the naturopathic or the Oriental College of the College of Oriental Medicine taught there. I missed her by just a year. Barb West and Marta Getty were both the early teachers.
Right.
They carried this energy of community and connection and service, and so the students that started were taking the classes from them just kind of grew up in that environment. We didn't know that there was some other way to do it.
And so then the Reitenbusch gatherings happened.
Then the Reitenbusch gatherings came together. That was Barb West's vision, her dream. And I just happened to be in the right place at the right time and had an opportunity to support her with that and help her organize it and get it going.
Right. So now every year, let's see, the second weekend of August.
Very good.
But sometimes it's under advisement, because what's the second weekend when August 1st is the first Sunday of August?
I think when August 1st is the first Sunday of August, then it's the weekend...
The first full weekend.
The first full weekend. Or it's the second full weekend.
Second full weekend, right.
Yeah.
And there is a website about the
Reiki. There is. NorthwestReikiGathering.com. Yeah. Or
dot org.
Com.
Dot org?
Com.
Com.
Yeah.
Northwest Reiki Gathering, though. That's what you have to remember.
Yeah.
NW Reiki Gathering, right?
NW Reiki Gathering.
And
it's a gathering that's open to any Reiki student from any lineage, and we spend... I'm sharing Reiki with each other, sharing stories, sharing experiences, exploring our connections.
Wonderful. And the great outdoor hot springs, I should say, that are there on the property at Reitenbusch.
Reitenbusch is a wonderful, wonderful place to just connect with each other and connect with nature.
Yeah. Which is another part of Reiki. This natural, I think... that in a quality of life, one has to be connected with the natural world. And it seems like that Reiki leads us more into having connection with the natural world and the living things around us.
Well, it's, you know, the Reiki, last final Reiki principle of honor all things and show gratitude. And it's that, for me, I grew up in the... as a young adult, grew up in the computer field, and I wasn't too aware of or sensitive to the outside world around me in that way. And when I took the Reiki class, the awareness that developed was astounding to me. It was like I began seeing things that I'd never seen before. I knew they were there. I just had never really paid attention to them. And it went with not only people, but with my environment, with the animals around me. It expanded into all areas of my life.
Right. Until recently, you've been working with healing animals? What is this connection with? Sorry, I'm just a bit vague here.
That's all right.
I didn't do my homework, but I mean, it amuses Phil and maybe the listener. So
yeah, well, I went through a series of experiences which ended up with me living on this 30-acre farm in the Columbia River Gorge and becoming what I thought was going to be a gentleman farmer. And so my idea of this pastoral kind of image of the farm in the gorge with these sheep roaming in the meadows of the fields just really caught my heart.
Uh-huh.
And I have a Welsh tradition, a history of so sheep in the field just go kind of
right.
along with that, right? So I found these sheep that were for sale, and we got 5 ewes, and they had all been bred. And I read everything I could get my hands on about sheep, and I had it timed so that Ellen would be back from Washington, D.C., and I would be out on a trip when all the lambs came.
Uh-huh.
So, right?
Interesting timing.
Yeah, and I got all these pens fixed for them and everything, and all of a sudden there were lambs coming, and Ellen wasn't back yet, and I wasn't gone yet. And I got to use Reiki a lot with the lambs as they were being birthed, as the ewes were going through the labor. We had one ewe that gave 3 lambs, which is a little traumatic and a little bit of a problem in feeding them. And I swear, the only reason I made it through was because of Reiki. I'm sure the sheep liked it too, but you know, it was...
Right.
I kept breaking myself to deal with this.
Right, right. And didn't you have something to do with healing, like, you know, having service dogs?
Oh, that was Ellen's program. She was director of, it's the Dove Lewis Emergency Animal Hospital, and because they were a nonprofit corporate organization, they had to do service to the community, and she ran the pet assisted therapy program. And so we had a lot to do with... she had about 140 people in her program taking their dogs and cats and horses and parrots and everything else out into nursing homes and hospitals and to visit people. And that's actually how Ellen and I met. I was working at the AIDS hospice, and we had one of our residents that was missing his dogs. And so we called over there to see if we could get somebody to bring over dogs, and that's how we connected.
Wow, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, indeed. And so these animals, they're not just companions, are they? Do they do other work?
Well, Ellen, yeah, we work some with service animals, which is a specific class of animals that are working with a person with some sort of a disability.
And not just people who don't have sight.
Right, right. Yeah, most of the animals we worked with were for balance and mobility, seizure alert, other kinds of issues.
Seizure alert? Yeah. What does that mean?
The dogs are very, very sensitive to the shift in a person that happens before they actually have the seizure. And so they will start making a commotion to let the person know that it's time to lay down or take the medicine or get some help or before the
really?
Event happens. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing.
And that was another part for me of the amazing connection between animals and human beings. It's much more profound than I was led to believe.
Uh-huh. Right. Well, I think that's the sensitivity that Reiki does give us, for
sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're at the end of our segment. We'll be back in just a few moments with Phil Morgan. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Be extraordinary. Seventh Wave Network.
Are you looking for life's balance? Look no further than Seventh Wave Network. We're bringing you Life's Balance with Shaman M. Let Melody McBride take you on a unique listening experience. You'll explore the world of alternative health. Learn about the many facets of healing. Preventative lifestyles from children to seniors will be discussed on the show. Listen for Life's Balance with Shaman M. Broadcast live every Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time and 2 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. It's the healthy side of life. Let peace and balance be yours. Relationships are the main reason we are on this earth. Much of the pain and problems we encounter in this life could actually be stemming from a past life. It is these wounds that could be affecting our relationships with our family, our friends, and our coworkers. Join Alan Green for an eye-opening discovery of our past lives and how we can quickly heal and make positive changes this life. Listen to Past Life and Spiritual Journeys with Alan Green, broadcasting live every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Listening on a higher dimension. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Forimoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
Hello, this is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki Balancing Form and Essence, and today I have with me Phil Morgan, and we've talked around about a lot of his experiences of having in his Reiki practice, and one of the things that one of the reasons why I asked Phil on the show today was something that has been an interesting, I don't know what you would call it, interesting situation in his own life after having created the in-service project for people with life-threatening illnesses. You ended up accompanying several of your partners, wives, I would say, into their own transition or death. And I'm just... These programs have been about quality of life, and part of the quality of life for me is about the quality of death and how Reiki, what influence Reiki has on the last time of a person's life, and how these women have used Reiki in their own process of dying.
It's been an amazing journey. I was actually raised in a mortuary. My father was a funeral director.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So you know, I think there was some sort of pattern starting very early in my life. Worked with hospice programs for 18 years and on staff at the AIDS hospice. And so this whole subject of death and dying had been something I'd studied with Elizabeth Kubler-Ross and did some of the other things that were popular at the time. But never expected to deal with it quite as closely as I ended up. Marty and I had been married for 25 years, and she got a little bit of a cough, and they diagnosed it as pneumonia. And then after treating it for pneumonia and not having any response in her body, they checked it out a little further and found that she had pancreatic cancer that had metastasized into the larynx and throat. And the Reiki community was incredibly supportive of us and that process that Marty went through. She was diagnosed in the end of May and died in November.
Wow, that is very quick.
That's very quick. The doctors had given her a year to a year and a half to live. It felt like she took in every ounce of energy that she was getting from everybody to just finish up her life and move on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an amazingly peaceful, healing journey for all of us. It wasn't a struggle. It wasn't painful. A pancreatic cancer is supposed to be incredibly painful.
Well, I've accompanied people with it, and it seems pretty painful.
She had none.
Really?
She had no pain.
Wonderful.
It was amazing to watch. And it was kind of like Grand Central Station in our house 24 hours a day, because people started coming in and giving her Reiki treatments, and sometimes I just wanted to shut the door and say, okay, we need some space now. And we did that a few times, but it was absolutely wonderful, the support that we got.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of years after Marty died, I connected with Patricia, and Patricia and I spent 3 years together. She had breast cancer and had been diagnosed, had surgery, had chemotherapy and radiation. Looked like everything was fine, and then it came back. And she used the Reiki to get really clear about what she wanted, how she wanted her life to complete, and who she wanted around her, and just this amazing sense of clarity and boundaries and all of that, that Reiki supported her in that process and in that way, and I think that brought her some sense of peace to the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like she didn't have control over the cancer, but she had control over her life.
Uh-huh.
And that was really, really important.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then Ellen came along and into my life, and with her, I think when I moved out with Ellen, there were like 6 dogs and 13 cats and a whole couple of horses and a calf and a... we didn't have the sheep yet. but all these animals, and it was like I grew up having a dog. Or
uh-huh.
a cat. And to have all these animals and have the interactions with them was just overwhelming at times. But it was really wonderful to practice Reiki on them, because mm-hmm. the cats would come sit on my lap and just soak it up, and the dogs would come over and we'd connect. And so there was that kind of thing. In 2003, Ellen was diagnosed with lung cancer. She wanted to stay around for a while. And she used all the Reiki she could get to just hang in there. And they would keep saying, you should die now. And I was like, no, I'm not ready yet. And for 6 years, she continued using Reiki to just beat the odds. Because there's a very small percentage of people with the kind of lung cancer that she had that survived more than 2 years, and then after 5 years, it's down to 1% or something. Like that.
Wow!
So, she was like the Timex watch. She kept going and going and going, and again at the end, it was this process of just realizing it's time to let go of the body, and then it was like the whole energy of how she used the Reiki shifted. It was like before, when I put my hands on her, I could feel the energy going into her body and working in her body. It was like a real physical sense of the energy mm-hmm. connected with her, and then all of a sudden it just shifted, and it was like the energy went into this huge void, this what I called the spirit world, with her, and helped her make that shift mm-hmm. within herself.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, after all these experiences, and many people would be almost horrified at this particular set of circumstances.
Yeah.
I want you to know that he's smiling, but we don't know why. Because Ellen has died not very long ago.
April 12th.
April 12th. And this is at the end of August. So, did you ever have a feeling that Reiki was failing you?
No.
No?
I really didn't. I had a lot of feedback from others about... what's wrong with your Reiki? Why can't you save these people? And it really just helped me get clearer and clearer about, it's not my job to save them. It's not my job to fix them. It's my job to support them. And I love every one of them. And I got a chance to work with my mom, too. It was one of the sweetest. She didn't know what Reiki was, and she could never quite figure out what her son was doing and why he gave up this really good job in the computer field. And because she could tell people that I was in the computer field, and they'd understand.
Right.
She'd say he's a Reiki master, and she wouldn't know what to say after that. But I got a chance. She was in a hospice at the end, and I got a chance to just hold her and sing to her and give her Reiki all the way through the final hours of her life. And it was just so sweet to be able to do that. So now I don't feel like Reiki's failed me in any way. I do wonder sometimes about my karma and what I'm paying off and going through all this, or if I'm building some good points on the other side.
Right, right.
But yeah, it's just, and it feels like going back to that experience as a kid growing up in a mortuary over the room and going out with my dad and to the hospital and picking up the bodies. I was really comfortable with that process of the dying, and I came to a very early understanding about the soul and the physical body, and it just never. It wasn't strange. It wasn't odd. It was just something that happened to us. Maybe someday we'll evolve to the point where we can avoid illnesses, or we'll be able to treat illnesses and avoid going through that transition. But I think that's a natural part of who we are and how we grow. And I don't think I want to live to be 250 years old. 68's really good right now. I'm enjoying it. I'm
great.
Having more fun now than I've ever had. But
great. Great, great. Well, this is the end of this segment. We'll be back after just a few minutes with Phil Morgan. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
Awakened Media for a transforming world. Seventh Wave Network.
Relationships are the main reason we are on this earth. Much of the pain and problems we encounter in this life could actually be stemming from a past life. It is these wounds that could be affecting our relationships with our family, our friends, and our coworkers. Join Alan Green for an eye-opening discovery of our past lives and how we can quickly heal and make positive changes this life. Listen to Past Life and Spiritual Journeys with Alan Green, broadcasting live every Wednesday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network.
As the new era approaches December 2012, Evolution invites you to expand awareness now to become the magnificent creator you forgot you are. Explore beyond current sensory perceptions with host Doreen Agostino to align body, mind, spirit, and unleash inner wealth. Discover and apply universal success principles to consciously and deliberately create your life. To align with inner truth, shine light of new thought, and joyfully prosper. Tune in Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Your online community for positive change. Seventh Wave Network.
You're listening to Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence with Phyllis Furumoto. If you have a question for either Phyllis or her guests, call now. The toll-free number is 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Now, back to the show.
This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. And Phil, you've just shared with us a very amazing experience that you've had of your wives and their living with cancer and then dying with cancer. And for those of you who haven't looked at Phil's picture on the e-card, you might notice a kind of resemblance to Santa Claus because he is Santa Claus during the holiday season. And I'm just wondering, does that have any connection at all with Reiki and...
Oh, absolutely. I get to see, well, the counts are down a little bit because of the economy, I guess, or because of the big ice storm in Portland last year. But I get to put my hands on about 50,000 kids in a month period and give them all a little bit of Reiki and listen to what their dreams and wants are. And I think it's one of my joys in life to be blessed with white hair and a long beard and a big belly and be able to just be there for the kids. And I watch them crawl up into my lap and they just settle into my hands being around them and holding them. And I watch them take a deep breath while their parents are going crazy. Someday I'm going to write a book on the Parent's Guide to Seeing Santa.
Right. That sounds like a fun book. Well, we have a visitor. I don't know if you can hear this cat, but he's yowling. Or maybe it's she's yowling. Speaking of animals and so on. So, you know, this presence that you have of comfort and safety, I would say, that goes along with the kind of image of Santa Claus. What are you doing now in your life as far as, do you still work with hospice, or are you, what's next on your
list?
What's
next on my list? Well, I don't know. There's a lot of changes going on in my life right now. It looks like I'll probably be moving from the farm changing my life situation, and there's, you know, I have daughters in Hawaii that are one possibility, is a really strong connection with the Portland area that's another possibility, and I work about 6-7 months a year in Europe, and so there's a possibility of establishing a residence there, and it feels like the door's just open, and I'm waiting to see what's on the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
Reiki will always be a part of things. It's a part of me. It's a part of my connection with the world around me. It's a part of my connection with the people around me. And I don't ever see that changing. And so it's just a matter of... trusting the energy when I'm giving somebody else a treatment has also translated into trusting the energy when I give myself a treatment.
That's a good thing to say.
And so it's like I go back to the precepts just for today, do not worry. You know, I can't get into worrying. It just doesn't serve me anymore. And I'm more focused on finding my joy.
Uh-huh.
And finding the joy in whatever is going on in my life. It's, you know, it's not like I'm seeking joy. It's like taking a day and then sitting down in the evening and looking at, wow, that was really amazing. That was fun. Mm-hmm. That brought me joy.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do things that bring me joy. And because I want to do them, and because that's part of my treatment of myself is holding that joy and bringing it into my life, it happens more and more.
Great.
And it happens in the most terrible of circumstances of watching my wife die. It happens in the most wonderful circumstances of watching my grandchild or my great-grandchild be born. You know, there aren't any boundaries in that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, in your life with Reiki, going through all these ups and downs, it sounds like, and yet coming out the other end feeling quite blessed by
Absolutely.
All the experiences that you've had, and looking for more experiences. Do you have some advice for people who are struggling with the meaning of Reiki or what it has to do with their own lives? Or,
well, if you haven't taken a Reiki class, take a Reiki class from somebody you can trust. And then put your hands on yourself and see what happens. I mean, that's where it begins. And there's this whole concept about surrender, and it's not giving up. It's about letting go of the things that I find myself hanging on to when I'm not surrendering. And that whole Buddhist concept of non-attachment and the things that are temporary. And so once I understand that things are temporary and there's no point in having these kinds of attachments that drive me crazy, then things become a lot easier. And it's again, going back to the experience with the kids in December, watching them have their attachments to the presence they want, and then being willing to let go of them. It's like, I want a new Nintendo, but it's okay if I don't get it. I had one of my favorite stories is this little gal that she was probably about 12 years old, and what she wanted for Christmas, she wanted me to arrange a concert for her in Carnegie Hall. She wanted to go play the piano in Carnegie Hall. And I said, well, I didn't know whether I could do that or not, but I'd certainly work on it for her. And she says, well, if you can't get me a concert in Carnegie Hall, could you get me a pet octopus? And it's like so absurd on some level, and yet so much joy with it for her. Those are the moments that I find happening in some way every day, whether it's seeing these silly grasshoppers around here jumping all over the place when I walk down the sidewalk, or watching this beautiful storm clouds roll through and the thunder and the lightning and the rain pouring. I saw a pomegranate plant for the first time. It looked like a tree.
Yeah.
I've never seen one before. And it was, I had asked somebody, what is that thing? I didn't recognize them in their natural environment.
Right.
So that was kind of an insight of it. Maybe there are other things in their natural environment that I'm not recognizing.
Yeah. Wow. Great. Well, thank you very much, Phil, for this wonderful sharing.
It's been a treat being with you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, you listeners are so lucky. Well, this is the end of the show, and again, I want to remind you next week to go to ReikiTalkShow.com, and you'll find me again on Thursday at 1 o'clock Pacific Time in the United States, and we'll see you there. This is Phyllis Furumoto with Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's episode of Reiki, Balancing Form and Essence. Be sure to tune in every Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on the 7th Wave Network and discover how you can find balance from within.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.